from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Swung on, hit in the air, right field, fairly deep. Castellanos back at the track in front of the wall. He's got it! Ball game's over as Jeff Hoffman gets the save and the Phillies take the series from the Dodgers. After a rout last night, a nail-biter tonight, and the Phillies hang on for a 4-3 win.
Well, a highly entertaining game last night. Had a lot to it. A lot. Didn't have a ton of runs, but had enough by the Phillies and good pitching, of course, by the Phillies starter and relievers, other than Alvarado.
Look, I'm a little worried about him.
I am too. A lot to digest in the Phils, and we turn to our man we love talking Phils baseball with. He's a man of Philadelphia. He is the total package.
Mr. Rube.
How are you, Rube?
I was wondering when you were going to reference that.
Listen, at some point, my back pocket's full of a lot of things. All right, I got plenty of things in there.
Great to be with you.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing great.
Doesn't it just put
I'm
a smile?
I'm not doing as well as the Phillies, but I'm doing just fine.
Nobody is. I mean, Ruben, they put a smile on our face going to bed. They put a smile on our face in the morning when we wake up. We realize, like, this isn't a dream. They're that good.
It's an historic scene. Yeah. It's historically good. And, you know, you're talking about a league that's not as strong, like, top to bottom as other years and other seasons. But that said, you cannot take away how they're going about it. They're winning, big. They're winning small. Yeah. They're winning in a lot of different ways. And it's just a special time. If you jump on board, man, if you're not on board, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I agree. And I'll tell you what, the Dodgers, like, we shouldn't confuse the Phillies' dominance of the Dodgers the last two. Dominance may be a little strong, but the Dodgers are legit.
Oh.
The Phillies are now 5.5 games in front of them.
Yeah.
That's significant because you do want, and I know they lost the Game 7 last year at home, but you want to have this October, that Game 1 at home and that Game 7 at home. And the Phillies, Ruben, the last 2 days have put themselves in let's put it this way. It's 5.5. It could have been 1.5 if these two games went the other way.
Yeah. And listen, this is, it's so important to win every, you talk about it all the time, I know, but every game does mean something. And Home field advantage? Are you kidding me? These guys do not want to play at CBP? Come on.
What stood out to you the most last night?
The fact that Harper was out of the lineup, and it's just a sort of a recurring theme. The thing about the team, two things happened yesterday that I was really impressed by. The team doesn't miss a beat, and it almost never does when they have guys that are out of the lineup that should be in the lineup or are not there because of for whatever reason, injury-wise. But the other thing is that Christopher Sanchez came and pitched. He is maturing in a way that I've never seen I've never seen a pitcher have this kind of development at the major league level from where he started his career to now. Now, he did throw the complete game shutout. I don't know how much it affected him his next time out because I saw him in Chicago. I covered that game. He did not pitch well. He did not have his command. He just didn't have his arm slot. For him to bounce back and to pitch the way he pitched with against the Dodgers,
yeah,
in that situation, in that atmosphere, man, hey, this guy has come in leaps and bounds. And you have to be excited about those four guys in that rotation.
Do you trust him for the playoffs?
Yes, I do.
Because you know he's going to be the fourth starter. He's going to get that ball probably twice. But you trust him?
I trust him. I trust him because he's battled through it. And he now is confidently done things that you would never have expected, yeah, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
All right, so let's get to what might be the biggest negative from last night. Rhea, you referenced it a few minutes ago. My antenna's up on Alvarado.
Yeah.
It's been about a month now where it's like,
I expected him to give up at least a run. And that, I mean, like, you,
yeah,
know, I don't with other relievers like I have, but I come in and I go, no, he's going to give up a run.
Yeah, I mean, look, the playoffs are in 3 months. He's going to get the ball. Now, he might not be their prime guy. He might be their third guy. He might be their fourth guy. He entered, I think, this season as their prime bullpen guy. I mean, Jody, that's getting a little shaky now.
And I was going to bring this up at some point. Thank you for doing so. Before we started the segment, I'm talking to Ruben about giving Rob Thompson credit and the fact that he brings Strom at just the right spot, and he strikes out Ohtani, and it's great. And I hate the fact that the manager doesn't get a credit when he pushes that right button. Just, that's what you're supposed to do. Get it wrong.
Right.
Oh, my God, what the hell is the manager thinking? So that bothers the snot out of me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask a question about the manager and his strategy last night. I'll do the thing that I was just deriding. Why didn't he bring Strom back out for the eighth? He threw five pitches in the seventh, striking out Ohtani on four, boom, gets the next out on the next pitch. You can't bring him back out for the eighth, Ruben?
It is a great question. He could, but I believe in my heart of hearts, this is what separates Rob Thompson, I think, from other managers. He knows he needs Alvarado down the road. He knows he needs to get him right. And if he doesn't utilize him in that spot, which is his slot right now, then, you know, the player himself will start to lose some confidence. And I don't think Rob Thompson wants that to happen. He knows that this guy, when he's right, is dominant, and he is. Right now, his mechanics are not quite right yet. He does not have his normal command that he had developed. And he's another guy who struggled with command in the past. I mean, he got sent down and bounced back, and again. Yeah. But he's too important to their bullpen for him to sort of not put him in his role, and I think that's the reason why he used him. I think in a playoff situation, when and if he is not right and that situation occurs in the playoffs, I think he's going to stay with Strom and go that next inning. I think right now he needs Alvarado to be right
so
that he can go to him when he knows he can go to him.
There's a couple different interesting aspects to it. So one of which, and Jody, I don't know if you thought of this, if that's the first game of the season, the seventh inning is probably Alvarado's spot against Ohtani. Like, to me, Alvarado's been knocked down a peg because of Strom's excellence, and Alvarado's not. I mean, the biggest moment of the game was
Ohtani.
Here comes Ohtani in the seventh inning. So that's the first thing that hits me. Ruben, what you just touched on is fascinating, and I don't know what the answer will be. If a player is struggling in October, will the manager over-rely on him?
I don't
Seltzer.
It's my number one concern with this team when it comes to playoff time is Rob Thompson trusting his guys too much.
Yeah, and we have the same thing with Jim Fregosi, right? When Mitch just didn't have just didn't really have anything, and he stayed with him because he had been his horse. I do believe that Rob Thompson will make the right baseball move at the right time. I trust Rob Thompson, man. This guy gets it. He is an excellent freaking manager. And that's the bottom line. He gets people. He understands players. He knows their psyche. He understands the game. He's been around it so long, man. This guy knows what the hell he's doing.
Players seem to really care about him, right?
Because
they know
he cares about them.
That's right.
He cares about them.
When he ran out, what was it, fifth inning or so, when They had it. What was that? They were checking on Sanchez at one point last night.
Yeah, and he came out. Oh no, it was Hoffman. It was at the end.
It was Hoffman. Hoffman. Yeah. And, like, he's just on it.
Yeah. Quote from Schwarber, whatever, like a month ago or whatever, where they were talking about, if you go after our manager, you're going to have 26 guys jumping right over the, like,
Will. Yeah, no, I like it. All right, look, 215-592-9494 to comment on last night's Phillies game and how this team's playing. Also up ahead, a story from sports that we got the answer yesterday. We'll get to that. We'll get to what Rob Thompson said yesterday about Bryce Harper. Also, I had a tough situation. I need some life advice, some early life advice from others on an issue. We'll get to that and more. Your phone calls on all these topics. The Mac Man in for John. We got Ruben here as well. Joe to camera with you on 94 WIP.
If you are tired of paying high utility bills every month because your home AC just keeps running, it's probably because your windows are not energy efficient. If yours are builder grade or over 8 years, the seals are likely broken, air's leaking out, and you are paying the price in high utility bills all year long. Window Nation's high-quality windows are built to last a lifetime. And right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two windows free. No limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save even more with zero down and no...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to this beautiful Thursday morning, getting near the middle of the summer throughout the Delaware Valley. Joe DeCamera and the Mac Man, Jody Mac in for John today. Phils just keep rolling. They're like Zeppelin in their prime. They're on fire. They're doing their thing. And first team in Major League Baseball to 60 wins, and now incredibly five games up on the L.A. Dodgers for that one seed in the National League. Really, really impressive what the Phillies have been doing.
Joe, you told me, shoot, by the time we got in the studio, I didn't even know that Ruben was going to be with us today. And it dawned on me, this is the perfect guy to have in studio today. Because if you listen to WIP for the last couple of weeks, certainly the last couple of days, and you and I dealt with this yesterday, the comparison of talent versus chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the guy who checked in. Oh, look at Marshawn's numbers. Yeah, because he went 3-for-3, jumped from 261 to 331, and his OPS went up by over 100 points because it's a small sample size. And that's what the discussion centers around when JT comes back, who's going to be the backup catcher. This is a former player, a former general manager, a former coach who is in the locker room every single day and is part of that chemistry, is firsthand a guy who can observe that chemistry. Ruben Amaro, how much does chemistry actually mean as compared to just divvying up numbers and looking at a spreadsheet and say, well, who's the best? Who's got the better? Oh, then that's got to be the player. How much does chemistry actually play in a situation like the Phillies are looking at right now with their backup catcher?
It means a lot. It means a lot. And I know that Garrett Stubbs is a guy that sort of galvanizes his team in a lot of ways. He's very close with a lot of the players and important players. At the end of the day, it's really about talent and making sure that you have the most talented 26 players in the major leagues. That said, when it comes to this sort of situation, here's where the decision lies. If when JT comes back, they feel like he's going to be playing half the games or 60% of the games, then there would be an argument that you would have Marchand stay, because Marchand is going to impact the game at a higher level. I think he's just a better all-around player. I don't think that JT's coming back to play 60% of the games. He's coming back to play 90% of the games. And in that role, then there's no reason to not send Marchand back, let him know how important he is to this team, the messaging's important, and that he's going to be back and he's going to be helping this team when they need him. And or in September.
And to add to Ruben's point, I'll ask you, Joe DiCamera, a question.
Hmm.
Phillies played 7 playoff series these last 2 years. 4 the year before.
Yeah, 7, yeah.
3 last year.
Yep.
In those 7 series, how many plate appearances do you think the backup catcher made?
I don't remember Stubbs hitting in it, so I would say probably 0.
That would be a goose egg.
Yeah.
In 7 series, which is X amount of games, you could do the math and adding up, he has had 0 plate appearances. The backup catcher has had 0 plate appearances in the postseason the last 2 years. So if you're making the argument, oh, Marchand's hitting 330, he's going to be hitting 330 sitting on the bench watching all the playoff games as JT Realmuto catches. So why are we even arguing this?
Well, I think, listen, I'll say this. I think the reason we have been discussing it is because it is not normal that many people would advocate for the lesser player to stay and the better player to go. That is an unusual thing. I am advocating for that. I would choose Garrett Stubbs.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize that that is an abnormality. It is.
But the marginal production that he's going to provide because of the unique situation that this team is in that you have a catcher who basically plays every single day. Very, very few guys do that. And it might be different if he was catching 70% of the games or 65%.
Sure, I agree, Ruben.
But that's not happening. And when he comes back, I think that's also one of the reasons why you may see him not come back. And he might be ready right now. Not come back until after the All-Star game, because he's going to want to catch every single frickin' day. And that's and in that case, you know, you're going to end up sending Marchand back, and all is going to be fine with the world.
Well, look, a lot to react to on the Phils. Obviously, the greatness of what they're doing right now, winning again last night, beating the Dodgers. We'll get to more within Inside the Game from yesterday. Also, you might remember when Jody's here, I forgot to do it yesterday. I like to roll out 5 questions for the Mac Man. So we'll do some 5 questions for Jody Mac, sprinkle them in through the show. All right, also a lot today on Nick Sirianni. Is he the dude? Seltzer, is Sirianni, you know, the guy? You believe in him?
I don't know. Unlike you, I don't know.
So he's entering year 4, and we got a question mark.
I wouldn't bet on him being the dude. That's what I'll say.
I think that's where I stand. I more lean out than in on Sirianni, but I recognize his record's been incredible. I think he does bring a lot of good attention and detail to the table. But, man, the way things ended last year, and I do lean out then in, but I will admit I'm confused. I am truly confused. Where do you stand on Nick Sirianni? Let's go to Tom in Dover. Good morning, Tom.
Hold on. Good morning. Thanks for texting me back, Joey.
Of course, Tom. It's always my pleasure. Going back and forth with you on text last night. That was great.
Yeah, 9:30 at night. Thanks a lot.
Wait.
This is great.
So that's my fault?
Hey, listen, Joe. I get up early in the morning just like you do, Joe.
Yeah, but you know what I'm realizing, Tom, with this phone call now? I've sniffed you out. Your act is an act. I just realized this is all a ruse. Like when you called up yesterday and said I'm a bad guy, so I hadn't text you back. You're just trying to cause trouble. It's just a little play thing. That's fine. Right, play's okay.
That's how, if you recall, Joe, that's how the relationship started.
Well, it's all good, man. Got nothing but love for you, Tom. Except when you're wrong about sports, and then I got to smack you down. Sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling me back. But on the texting me back. Sorry about that.
Sure.
On the Sirianni thing, I'm on board, man, that Sirianni has to go, man, for real.
That was a switcheroo. I'm on board that he's got to go.
Yeah, he got
That's when people are like, I believe in Ruben Amaro. Shouldn't be the general manager.
Why do you got to go there? You just showed me the total power.
It was a switcheroo he just pulled right there.
That was a switcheroo.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Ruben, remember when I called some time ago, maybe last year, and I was telling Ruben, like, man, Edmundo, man, needs to be on the field every day, man.
Not every day.
Why is that?
Who are you sitting, big guy? Somebody's got to sit for Edmundo to play every day.
He's one of my favorite humans and one of my favorite players on that team, but not every day.
Yeah, Tom, he's not that good.
Can we climb in the outfield, Rube?
They have.
It's not working?
It's not working? He's not really. I mean, I think they need to let the outfielders be the outfielders for now.
All right, okay. Hey, Joe, I'm glad I got through this morning, man, because I think I got a winner, man, for real, man.
All right, memorable showdown for the concert tickets. What do you got?
The guy who you called yourself making from Philadelphia, who he wasn't from Philadelphia, the Thrill in Manila, man.
So, you know, it's funny you say that. And Tom, I'm going to write it down. I think, and Jody, you would probably remember this better than anybody. Wouldn't you say Ali Frazier 1 was the biggest showdown of the three Ali Frazier fights? I mean, Thrilla and Manila, it's like, all right, it's all on the line. It's 1-1. It's the last time they're going to fight. Who's going to have supremacy being up 2-1? That's a big deal, and Ali won that one. But wouldn't you say the fight in Madison Square Garden, because they hadn't previously fought, Ali had had the whole thing with the war, Frazier had taken over the crown, Ali comes back. Isn't that a
Wasn't
bigger showdown?
Wasn't it Fight of the Century it was billed as, right?
Yeah, I mean, how can that be a lesser showdown than Thrill in Manila?
Yeah, but the Fight of the Century type thing, anything of the century type things, is that until the next one comes along.
No, the Storm of the Century in 93 was, in fact, the Storm of the Century. John Belaris told us.
Because there wasn't a Storm of the Century in 97. It could have been supplanted.
I mean, I had it. Look, first off, I had a whole week off from school in 93. Second off, the Flyers had a game started against Wayne Gretzky at the Spectrum. All right, and the window pane got blown. Remember that, Jody? Rhea, you remember this.
The roof came down.
No, it wasn't the roof. The roof was back in like the 60s or something. The window pane gets knocked out at the Spectrum.
That's right.
They're like, all right, we got to send everybody home, including Wayne Gretzky. We cannot continue to play this game. This is not safe. And I remember 5 days. I was in ninth grade. 5 days I was off from school. It's a beautiful thing.
You tack that on with two weekends,
man. That's 11 days off.
Yeah, it was a whole week. Yeah. We got a whole.
I remember getting nine days off.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
We got the 5 days in a row. Like the entire week we were off from school. It was like the craziest
plus
thing
two
ever.
Weekends.
Yeah, plus the weekends.
That's
exactly.
When it used to snow. It doesn't even snow anymore.
No, you don't get that
it's
much.
Crazy.
You know,
I was in Memphis, Joe, and I had to fly from to beat the storm. I had to fly from Memphis to Detroit, run through the Detroit airport to make a flight to Philadelphia, and I landed hours before the snow started. I should have stayed in Memphis.
That one became a lot of ice, and that was an unbelievable storm. All right, let's go to Layton. Layton, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How's it going?
This is our Josh Harris impersonator, or it's actually Josh Harris, one or the other. Hello, Josh.
Well, I'm loving this baseball talk with Ruben and the Mac Man, but I thought I'd give you a little behind-the-scenes look. It's signing Paul George.
Oh, the inside scoop! Let's go!
Love this. This is an exclusive.
What do you got, Josh?
Well, it was a pretty stressful day, as you know. I mean, the plane was delayed. It was late, as you may have heard.
Sure, yep.
And I was running around gathering out all the cash. You know, that took quite a while. So we get on the plane. You know, I brought the posse. I had Daryl, Dr. J, Blitzer, you know, EB, Dinwiddie, I had the whole posse.
Yep.
And Doc is stressing out. He's like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I said, listen, Julius, chill out. Just tell him the story about Moses Malone. So you're welcome for that one.
You know, it's not bad. You add Moses, you win a title. You add Paul George, yeah.
This guy's a fraud.
We'll say. You never know.
Josh Harris had to run around and get the money.
Is that five?
Josh makes a call.
Josh, is that five?
The money is delivered. Josh doesn't have to run around anywhere.
Josh, is that fives and tens? You get to $200 million on?
You know, PG, he had to talk to Kawhi, speaking of money. You know, he had to talk to Kawhi. He said, why? I'm thinking of going to Philly. And Kawhi said, get that bag, you know? And I brought that bag.
Well, all right, Josh, wonderful phone call here. You also, Leighton, can win the tickets to the concert. Give us a memorable showdown.
Well, this might be a little sophisticated for you coming from Josh Harris, but I'm thinking maybe Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
All right, buddy, you got it.
He went all highbrow on us.
Well, he also went to the world of fiction, and that's not going to count. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson last night talking about Bryce Harper. Obviously not in the lineup. Goes back to the prior day. When will he play? We shall see. Here's what Rob Thompson said last night after the game.
What can you tell us about Bryce after he swung today?
He's better. The swelling's down. It's still bruised, but the swelling's down, and we'll see how he comes in tomorrow.
You know, it's good to get a win, obviously, without him. They've gotten a lot of wins without him, without JT, without Schwarber before he came back. I mean, it really has been impressive. Now, look, we're going to get to see Ranger here. That's tonight, right? I want to make sure I get my games right. Ranger tonight?
Aaron.
No, Nola
tonight. Oh, Aaron
tonight.
Nola tonight. Nola. Okay. So, where are you at, Ruben, on Ranger when he next pitches? It's been a strange, you know, late June, early July for him. When that next, because this is the last time we'll talk to you right until that happens. Are you somewhat concerned on Ranger?
Not concerned at all. I am. He's going through that part of the season where I think that, you know, we talked about this before. He sort of get a dead arm. He's thrown a lot of pitches. He's made a lot. It's eating up innings. It's a different space for him, but I think he's going to be rejuvenated afterwards. I think that a lot of the pitchers, and all you got to do is look at the numbers. They don't lie. They've logged a lot of innings. They've been outstanding, and that's one of the biggest reasons why this team's so good. But I do honestly believe that he will bounce back just fine. He needs a little bit of a breather, and I think the All-Star game is coming at the right perfect time.
So here's where I disagree with you on Ranger, and it goes to expectations. Like, what is he? So I knew when he was 9-0, he's not really 9-0. Like, he wasn't going to go 18-0. I don't think Ranger Suarez, you know, this year, next year, any year is going to pitch like a 1.5 ERA for a season. But I also know that I had grown accustomed to thinking Wheeler Nola Ranger was like Wheeler Nola Ranger, not Wheeler Nola Ranger, like with a pause for a drop to 3. So, Ruben, is it a big 3 or a big 2?
No, he's a solid 2. He's a solid 2 because of the way he goes about it. He has presence. He has confidence. He has pitched better than anybody in the history of postseason when he's had a chance to pitch as a closer, as a starter. His numbers they don't lie. This guy will rise to the occasion. I love their starting rotation. It's the best starting rotation they've had since, you know, I got a chance to be around the Phillies, and I have a tremendous amount of confidence in Rangers.
Good. All right, let's go to Gary in Whitehall. Gary, good morning.
Hey, good morning, team. How are we doing today?
Good. All good, buddy.
Hey, you got Mr. Ruben Amaro on there. Is this the best pitching staff you've seen with the Phillies?
Is this the best pitching staff? I think it is. I think it is because of the depth and the age. I mean, we had a great one in 2009, 10, 11. I mean, those guys could really pitch. Obviously, with the addition of Oswalt, the pedigree was pretty phenomenal. But as far as it all kind of depends on how it finishes off. I think that they'll be just fine. But I think a lot of it depends on how they finish. But this is, if not the best, it's 1A.
All right, Gary, here's what I just heard from Ruben's answer. young Christopher Sanchez over old Roy Oswalt. Seltzer, isn't that what he just said?
Yeah, and that's correct. That's like very correct.
But the fifth starter that year, you had Vance Worley. And while you had that early this year with Turnbull and Blanton, and you had Turnbull early this year, the fifth starter right now is...
It's questionable.
Tyler Phillips on Saturday.
Right, but my point is it's a whole big question.
No, yeah, of course.
The top four is the best. I think if you talk about five guys, I guess the one in 10, 11... probably better, but God, it's hard to imagine this day and age with the amount of talent offensively there is in the game that you can't think that these guys aren't the best.
It's very, 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 very close.
And moving forward, you got to re-sign Ranger, and then you got four guys locked up for the next 5 years. So I think is looking really, really good. It's kind of funny you guys are bringing up about Stubbs and Marshawn, and it's like, there's 60 and 32, and we're talking about the backup catcher. Right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's a great problem to have.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a really good problem to have.
Gary, give me a memorable showdown.
Joe, just for you, how about the Hatfield and McCoys?
Oh, you got it, man. Hatfield and McCoys had not been set. Very, very good answer for sure. Did they ultimately solve their issue, though? I mean, did they have a final?
Did they marry a cross?
I don't know. I know it was a real life thing. Some people thought it was fictional. They're real life. I think it was West Virginia or something like that. But I don't know if in the end it ended. I mean, I know it ended. I don't know if there was a showdown that ended. Let me put it that way. Or did they all just die because all that? Seltzer, was it all natural death and then that was the end? And they just said, okay, enough of the feud?
I thought it was fictional.
No, it's so real.
Yeah, I know it is. Hatfield now, I'm saying. I thought it was, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
All right, so we had a showdown.
They're still feuding, by the way.
Still feuding. All right, we had a showdown in recent months. Between NBA on TNT and NBA on NBC. Because it had been, you know, obviously TNT carrying the NBA for about the last 20 years. NBC won it. They won it back in. And we found out yesterday, officially, and Jody, we already know it, but officially it was announced that the NBA on NBC shall return. Which, on one hand, is really exciting. On the other hand, the death knell for TNT is sad. So, Jody Mack, I've got five questions for you today, and I'm going to fire the first to you today. And
all right.
By extension, this goes to everyone at 215-592-9494. At their best, which was better? The NBA's coverage on TNT, which I would say was stronger in the studio, but not as strong in the game. Or the NBA on NBC, which I would say was weaker in the studio, but stronger in the game. Because you had Prime Marv on NBA on NBC.
You
had that music.
You beat me to it.
You had Bill Walton. You had some Doug Collins years. Like, you had some great game coverage. TNT studio coverage is unmatched, maybe with the exception of the old NBA, actually the old NFL show with Brent Musburger and all them back in the 70s and 80s on CBS. Jody, which was better at their best, NBC or TNT?
Very good question. It's TNT because, I think we discussed this yesterday, the drop-off between, I'll put Marv up there with anybody, and I love Mike Breen,
yes!
Good friend. But Marv is Marv, and he kept it at that level. But the drop-off with, if you think Marv is the best, to the next best, is not near as drastic as studio stuff, mm-hmm. TNT, to whoever you want to put mm-hmm. second. So I would put, and not because it's Charles, but just being honest, TNT, best ever.
So this is a bittersweet moment for me. And I think for a lot of us, it's like, I hear that music, and I'm nostalgic, and I want that stuff back. But I don't want to lose Charles and Shaq and Kenny and Ernie. And, like, they're going to be lost. Like, that's not happening. Like, one more year, and that's probably it. And, you know, I'm torn on this one. And here's the other thing that hurts me. And I don't know if people have really factored this into the equation. I don't think the NBA on NBC will reclaim the magic. Like, Marv ain't Marv anymore.
No.
And, you know, you're not going to Bill Walton. There's no Snapper Jones. Like, you're going to have new announcers.
But you have a younger set coming up. I mean, look, LeBron's 40. How old is Steph Curry?
Well, I have no interest in seeing LeBron.
You know, Steph
might work for me. LeBron, first, I doubt
LeBron
will do it.
Steph even
want
to do it, though. Like, Steph's got so much money and so much,
yeah,
you know.
No, but
so does Shaq and Charles, and they chose to do it.
Sure.
There's going to be a new wave. You know,
there
SGA is fun. Anthony Edwards, there's going to be a new
wave. Anthony Edwards, there's way far away. That's like 20 years from being on TV, Anthony Edwards.
Hold on. But you mean as a player?
You're talking about players, right, Rhea?
Yeah, I'm just
there's a new wave of NBA players.
She's talking about to be on as analysts.
But if they hire Draymond Green, I have no interest.
No, 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 no.
None. Zero.
You're not getting Rhea's point. Rhea's talking about the players.
Sure.
But that's a completely
LeBron
different discussion.
Because LeBron and Steph will be out as players within the next couple of years.
Yep.
Well, who are those announcers who are going to tie to Edwards and the next wave of superstars? She's not suggesting LeBron's going to take over and be the color analyst on NBC.
No. Look, I hear all that. I'm just saying this. Like, when ESPN got the NHL back, to me, it's mostly been a flop. They didn't hire Gary Thorne. I don't feel like they recreated what was great in the 90s. I'm just telling you, I don't think the NBA on NBC, they'll bring that music back. That'll be kind of cool. And then you'll see their coverage. And my prediction is that it will be flatter than people expect. That's my prediction.
I did not see the announcement. Did NBC say who they plan on having as their lead announcer?
No, because they still got to try to hire Charles and all those guys. They still got a whole nother year.
Lead announcer.
Oh,
no,
lead announcer.
I don't think they announced it. Yeah.
All right, I'll give you a guy.
Who's the guy?
Because he's calling the games for NBC for the Olympics.
Who we got?
Noah Eagle.
Oh, Ian's son.
He is going to call the games.
He's very good. Football, I've seen him do football. He's solid.
Yeah. And I don't think that's official. I'm not stating anything because I don't know anything. What I do know is Noah is calling the games for NBC for the upcoming Summer Olympics. Why would you have him call the Olympic Games if you are paying billions of dollars for the future broadcast rights?
Okay.
You want to have a guy in place.
You know You know who they could hire?
Yes! Oh, yes!
He's available.
That's where you're going?
No, I don't think Mark Zumwalt's going to be doing it at this point, but I'm just saying. Look, we'll say. I'm just telling you my prediction is the NBA on NBC will not rekindle the magic. I hope I'm wrong. We shall say. Let's go to Gary in Vineland, New Jersey. What's up, Gary?
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what do you think about Turner leading off?
I don't like it because I think what they're doing is working. I mean, let me ask you a question. Who bats second? I'm not saying he couldn't do it.
No.
He could be great. Who would bat second? Because I want Bryce batting third, and I don't want two lefties in a row. Who bats second?
It was sheer sarcasm. Like, where's the dude that was calling Schwarber fat without saying he was fat?
Good on you, Gary.
Come on, man.
Why are we having this discussion? Why are we having a discussion about Schwarber?
Well,
the man needs to stay in the one hole and do his thing.
Enough.
And everybody just shut it.
But
isn't it mostly...
You should keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
But how many people are squawking now? Less than 1%?
Yeah, but we're talking to Gary right now. It's happening
right this second.
But
Gary was joking. He was joking.
All right.
But Gary, as jokes go, this is radio. We got to be able to...
I thought I got it immediately. I was like the only one.
No, I didn't get that at all.
Not at all.
We couldn't see your face, Gary.
Like, I left the Rolling Stones concert. He hit a home run that night. The first thing I heard was, they should put Schwarber out. He's got to be in the third hole. I'm like, come on.
I gotcha.
Then what's the next hurdle they got to jump, Ruben? Like, what, now that they beat a winning team, like, what's the next thing that the haters are going to say?
I don't know. Obviously, there's going to be haters. If they don't win the World Series, there's going to be haters because, you know. But you're looking at a historic season. I know the playoffs – or is like a tournament. If you're hot, you'll win. If you're not hot, you're not going to win. And if you're obviously if you're healthy, you have a chance to win. And so that's sort of a crapshoot. You've seen it over the last couple of years. And yes, you know, is it World Series or bust for these guys? I don't know. I measure success in a totally different way than others do.
You know what it is though. Like, and I hope that the Sixers team turns into it. They're fun. And yes,
they are.
You want them to win the World Series, but they're so much fun. Like, you want to watch a Phillies game every night. it's not like watching the Sixers. Like, Embiid's moving tonight.
Well, we're proud of them, Gary, and they vibe with our town, and they vibe with each other, and we both respect that and appreciate that. And it's an awesome vibe. Gary, give me a great answer, a memorable showdown.
How about Edison Tesla?
Yeah, that's great, a good answer right there.
That's it. They're super likable. They're likable guys, and they want to win. You know, they take on the personality of the city because they want to win, and they're doing everything they possibly can to win a baseball game. And they enjoy doing it. I mean, that's a great combination of people.
They do. And, of course, national broadcast saw it last night as Bohm's being interviewed after the game, and what was it, Marsh and Stott came out. And, you know, that's good stuff. All right, so, Ruben, I heard you there on the tournament that is the baseball playoffs. I agree with you. True or false, in your opinion, the 2008 Phillies were the fourth best Phillies team of that era. Some combination of 9, 10, and 11 were actually better teams than 08. 08 happened to be the one that won the championship, but the 08 Phillies are the fourth best team from that era, true or false?
Probably, as far as talent, just I'm talking about sheer talent, I think that's probably true. Probably true. But I'm not saying it because I happened to be the GM. I mean, there's a lot of people who are involved.
No, I'll back you up, Rube. I think it's true.
I think it's definitely true.
Yeah, definitively true. Just talent-wise.
Look, your hitters were better because you had Ryan and Chase in their prime before they had begun to tail off and have a little bit more injuries. But the pitching, I mean, and no disrespect
and
to Brett Myers. Brett Myers is the two. Doesn't compare to what you had as the two in 9, 10, and 11. Just doesn't compare.
Yeah, I think if you start talking about the back end of the bullpen, you know, you had Brad Lidge of 08 who was invincible, but you didn't necessarily have that in 09, 10, and 11.
That's right, too.
So that might be the tipping point. Although, you know, Mattson pitched well for him.
Mattson was really good.
He was really good. But when you got 48 out of 48, man, the man was perfect.
I know.
I mean, a couple of them were lucky, but I mean, that's it. That might be the tipping point.
No, it might be. And 07 and 08, I'd say, was when Dobbs was at his best, and then he wasn't quite as good thereafter. I mean, it's a close battle, but I'll tell you this. I feel pretty confident that the other teams were better than 08. They just didn't play their best in October, and that's that.
That's how it works.
That is how it works. Last night, the Phillies played really good baseball. It was a highly entertaining game. Let's go through some of the twists and turns. Obviously, with Sanchez on the mound, Phillies get through the top of the first, no runs, and then it's time for the Phillies to start hitting, and, you know, Kyle Schwarber did.
Righty with a 1-1. Swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. Going back on it, Vargas looking up, and that's gone. Opposite field, leadoff home run. Kyle Schwarber puts the Phillies on the board. It's 1-0.
Well, you know, that's something Jimmy used to do as a leadoff hitter for the Phillies. Unconventional at that time. He, in the one year, I think it was 30 homers. And of course, Ruben, in 08, when you guys would lose a playoff game, he'd bounce back the next game and lead the game off with a homer, if you remember, to clinch both the Brewers series and the Dodgers series in 08 on the way to the World Series. So Schwarber does it again last night. Phillies tack on another run with the Whit Merrifield RBI ground out to make it 2-0. Dodgers then scored a couple runs, so it's a tie game when Trey Turner trying to put the Phillies on top.
3-1 the count. Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball up the middle to his left, Rojas. Oh, he had to go off his glove. In to score is Merrifield, and Turner is going to reach, and the Phillies are going to reclaim the lead. It's 3-2.
Jody, another two-hit game from Trey Turner last night. Now, that one could have gone either way. He might have been safe if the dude, even if the dude fields it clean, he might have been safe because it was in the hole and Trey's got speed. But obviously, when he didn't get it, and he does officially get the hit in the RBI.
You're going to get the run there, which is the most important thing, whether Turner's out or safe at first base.
No, there were two outs. There were two outs. You don't get the run.
Were there two outs?
Yeah, there were two outs. You wouldn't have gotten the run. They needed that error. I thought it was an error. But
I don't, James, because it was... Not,
I think I don't think Turner was beating it out, and it, like the that, shortstop, I think that was
should have made
he
it.
Should have made that play,
but it's not an automatic. Look, Phil's got the lead at that point. Then they tacked on with Bryson Stott.
The 3-2 pitch, breaking ball, tap past the mound, charging Taylor at second. Tough hop throw to first is late. Turner scores another run home for the Phillies without getting the ball out of the infield. It's 4-2, Phillies.
Look, all these runs are great, obviously, and you can't win without scoring. And obviously the Phillies scored enough last night. But the moment of the game came thereafter With the 4-2 lead, it's the top of the seventh. The Dodgers have two on, one on first, one on third. There's only one out. Phils are holding a lead against perhaps the most feared hitter in all of baseball, Shohei Ohtani. And Rob Thompson's like, Strom's my dude. Not going to Alvarado, who I think in other times would have been the guy in that moment. No, it's Strom. With what Strom's done all season, with what he's done in recent weeks, it's Strom. It's Ohtani. It was a showdown. It was a great moment.
One ball and two strikes. Strom ready to look at first. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Breaking ball. Got him. And Ohtani goes down representing the go-ahead run here in the seventh.
Ruben, there are times within a game you just feel that that was the it moment. That was the it moment last night.
No doubt about it. And I was happened to be in the ballpark at the time and was watching. And all I could do is say to myself, Stromy, please, please expand the strike zone because he throws so many strikes.
Yeah, he does.
And, you know, if I'm a hitter against him, I'm looking to swing early in the count and often. And he got to two strikes, and there are times when he throws pitches that are, you know, hittable, good pitches. I'm like, expand. I'm almost screaming, expand the zone, expand the zone. And he threw a perfect slider and made him look silly, which is hard to do because Ohtani can really hit. He's
yeah,
a great player.
Look, it's a massive spot for Strom. Let's listen to him talking after the game last night about that big moment.
He's one of the greatest ever pick up a bat. So, I mean, it's cool, but gotta keep doing it.
I know you don't want to give a hitter too much credit, yeah, but what you just said.
Yeah.
It's got to feel different when you come into a dirty inning and he's the guy at the plate, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, one of the core memories of my big league career is I got to come into Fenway with the bases loaded and face David Ortiz. So that's kind of, I mean, that wasn't the situation tonight, but I mean, when you get to face guys like that, you obviously remember them a lot.
You know, I got to tell you, we had a caller earlier today that said it, and it's so true. The acquisition of Strom, it's like it flies so under the radar of the moves that helped build this team. But it was big.
In addition to that,
big.
Here's one that Mr. Mauer will appreciate. You know what else has flown under the radar? Dombrowski did an extension with him back in March.
Oh, yeah. Well, give Strom credit. Oh, Strom went to him and said, I want to stay here. And he took the same amount of money.
Right.
$7.5 million. He's just like, give me the same amount of money for an extra year.
Jody, on the open market, Strom would get a lot of money.
Yeah, 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I think maybe million. More, yeah.
And his next year, they got an option for the year after with a whole bunch of incentives built in that can run it up a little bit. But Strom was good last year. Strom last year wasn't Strom this year.
I agree.
So Dombrowski had to say, yeah, oh yeah, we'll tack on another year. Coming off a good year, but not an outrageously good year. Good on both parties. And again, yeah. Strom, you're right. Give Strom credit too, because he wanted to get it done. Both parties, he's locked in. They've got their starters locked in. We had the call earlier say, you get Ranger locked up, and now you don't have to worry about pitching for three more years because everybody's under contract.
And Hoffman, too. You've got to lock Hoffman up, too.
Every single move matters. Every move matters.
I mean, look, they nailed it with Strom. Let's get to Hoffman because, of course, after Alvarado gives up one in the eighth, it's Hoffman in the ninth inning. And look, who in the world had heard of Jeff Hoffman before last season? I mean, I certainly hadn't. And this guy also has just been awesome.
Swung on, hit in the air, right field, fairly deep. Castellanos back at the track in front of the wall. He's got it. Ball game's over as Jeff Hoffman gets the save and the Phillies take the series from the Dodgers. After a rout last night, a nail-biter tonight, and the Phillies hang on for a 4-3 win.
Look, it's a big win. It really is a big win for the Phillies, and they'll get 5.5 games in front of the L.A. Dodgers for the best record in the National League, obviously, which will factor in for home field advantage in the playoffs. They got one more today, and just a great job by the Phillies so far in this series and obviously this season, now getting to 60 wins. Last night, July 10th, 60 wins this baseball season. Incredible. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494, for you to react on everything going on with the Phils. Plus, both respect that and appreciate that. And it's an awesome vibe. Gary, give me a great answer, a memorable showdown.
How about Edison Tesla?
Yeah, that's
great
a good
answer
right there.
That's it. And they're super likable. They're likable guys. And they want to win. You know, they take on the personality of the city because they want to win and they're doing everything they possibly can to win a baseball game. And they enjoy doing it. I mean, that's a great combination of people.
They do. And, of course, National Broadcast saw it last night as Bohm's being interviewed after the game. And what was it? Marsh and Stott came out. And, you know, that's good stuff. So, Ruben, I heard you there on the tournament that is the baseball playoffs. I agree with you. True or false, in your opinion, the 2008 Phillies were the fourth best Phillies team of that era. Some combination of 9, 10, and 11 were actually better teams than 08. 08 happened to be the one that won the championship. But the 08 Phillies are the fourth best team from that era, true or false?
Probably, as far as talent, just I'm talking about sheer talent, I think that's probably true. Probably true. But I'm not saying it because I happened to be the GM. I mean, there's a lot of people who are involved.
I'll back you up, Rube. I think it's true.
I think it's definitely true.
Yeah, definitively true, just talent-wise.
Look, your hitters were better because you had Ryan and Chase in their prime before they had begun to tail off and have a little bit more injuries. But the pitching, I mean, and no disrespect to Brett Myers. Brett Myers is the two. Doesn't compare to what you had as the two in 9, 10, and 11. Just doesn't compare.
Yeah, I think if you start talking about the back end of the bullpen, you know, you had Brad Lidge of 08 who was invincible, but you didn't necessarily have that in 09, 10, and 11.
That's right, too.
So that might be the tipping point. Although, you know, Mattson pitched well for him.
Mattson was really good.
He was really good. But when you got 48 out of 48, man, the man was perfect.
I know.
I mean, a couple of them were lucky. But, I mean, that might be the tipping point.
No, it might be. And 07 and 08, I'd say, was when Dobbs was at his best. And then he wasn't quite as good thereafter. I mean, it's a close battle, but I'll tell you this. I feel pretty confident that the other teams were better than 08. They just didn't play their best in October, and that's that.
That's how it works.
That is how it works. Last night, the Phillies played really good baseball. It was a highly entertaining game. Let's go through some of the twists and turns. Obviously, with Sanchez on the mound, Phillies get through the top of the first, no runs, and then it's time for the Phillies to start hitting, and, you know, Kyle Schwarber did.
Righty with a 1-1. Swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. Going back on it, Vargas looking up, and that's gone. Opposite field, leadoff home run. Kyle Schwarber puts the Phillies on the board. It's 1-0.
Well, you know, that's something Jimmy used to do as a leadoff hitter for the Phillies. Unconventional at that time. He, in the one year, I think it was 30 homers. And, of course, Ruben, in 08, when you guys would lose a playoff game, he'd bounce back the next game and lead the game off with a homer, if you remember, to clinch both the Brewers series and the Dodgers series in 08 on the way to the World Series. So Schwarber does it again last night. Phillies tack on another run with the Whit Merrifield RBI ground out to make it 2-0. Dodgers then scored a couple runs, so it's a tie game when Trey Turner trying to put the Phillies on top.
3-1 the count. Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball up the middle to his left, Rojas. Oh, he had to go off his glove. In to score is Merrifield, and Turner is going to reach, and the Phillies are going to reclaim the lead. It's 3-2.
Jody, another two-hit game from Trey Turner last night. Now, that one could have gone either way. He might have been safe if the dude, even if the dude fields it clean, he might have been safe because it was in the hole and Trey's got speed. But obviously, when he didn't get it, and he does officially get the hit in the RBI.
You're going to get the run there, which is the most important thing, whether Turner's out or safe at first base.
No, there were two outs. There were two outs. You don't get the run.
Were there two outs?
Yeah, there were two outs. Wouldn't have gotten the run. They needed that error. I thought it was an error. But
I don't, James, because it was not.
I don't think Turner was beating it out. And it, like
the
that,
shortstop,
I think that was a that was
should have made
he
it.
Should have made that play.
But it's not an automatic. Look, Phil's got the lead at that point. Then they tacked on with Bryson Stott.
The 3-2 pitch, breaking ball, tap past the mound, charging Taylor at second. Tough hop throw to first is late. Turner scores another run home for the Phillies without getting the ball out of the infield. It's 4-2, Phillies.
Look, all these runs are great, obviously, and you can't win without scoring. And obviously the Phillies scored enough last night. But the moment of the game came thereafter. With the 4-2 lead, it's the top of the seventh. The Dodgers have two on, one on first, one on third. There's only one out. Phillies are holding a lead against perhaps the most feared hitter in all of baseball, Shohei Ohtani. And Rob Thompson's like, Strom's my dude. Not going to Alvarado, who I think in other times would have been the guy in that moment. No, it's Strom. With what Strom's done all season, with what he's done in recent weeks, it's Strom. It's Ohtani. It was a showdown. It was a great moment.
One ball and two strikes. Strom ready to look at first. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Breaking ball. Got him. And Ohtani goes down representing the go-ahead run here in the seventh.
Ruben, there are times within a game you just feel that was the it moment. That was the it moment last night.
No doubt about it. And I was happened to be in the ballpark at the time and was watching. And all I could do is say to myself, Strami, please, please expand the strike zone. Because he throws so many strikes.
Yeah, he does.
And, you know, if I'm a hitter against him, I'm looking to swing early in the count and often. And he got to two strikes. And there are times when he throws pitches that are, you know, hittable, good pitches. I'm like, expand. I'm almost screaming, expand the zone, expand the zone. And he threw a perfect slider and made him look silly, which is hard to do because Ohtani can really hit. He's
yeah,
a great player.
Look, it's a massive spot for Strom. Let's listen to him talking after the game last night about that big moment.
He's one of the greatest ever pick up a bat. So, I mean, it's cool, but gotta keep doing it.
I know you don't want to give a hitter too much credit, yeah. But what you just said.
Yeah.
It's got to feel different when you come into a dirty inning and he's the guy at the plate, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, one of the core memories of my big league career is I got to come into Fenway with the bases loaded and face David Ortiz. So that's kind of, I mean, that wasn't the situation tonight. But, I mean, when you get to face guys like that, you obviously remember them a lot.
You know, I got to tell you, we had a caller earlier today that said it, and it's so true. The acquisition of Strom, it's like it flies so under the radar of the moves that helped build this team. But it was big.
In addition to that, here's one that Mr. Amaro will appreciate. You know what else has flown under the radar? Dombrowski did an extension with him back in March.
Oh, yeah. Well, give Strom credit. Oh, Strom went to him and said, I want to stay here. And he took the same amount of money.
Right.
$7.5 million. He's just like, give me the same amount of money for an extra year.
Jody, on the open market, Strom would get a lot of money.
Yeah, 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I think maybe more, yeah.
And it's next year they got an option for the year after with a whole bunch of incentives built in that can run it up a little bit. But Strom was good last year. Strom last year wasn't Strom this year.
I agree.
So Dombrowski had to say, we'll tack on another year. Coming off a good year, but not an outrageously good year. Good on both parties. And again, yeah. Strom, you're right. Give Strom credit, too, because he wanted to get it done. Both parties, he's locked in. They've got their starters locked in. We had the call earlier say, you get Ranger locked up, and now you don't have to worry about pitching for three more years because everybody's under contract.
And Hoffman, too. You've got to lock Hoffman up, too.
Every single move matters. Every move matters.
I mean, look, they nailed it with Strom. Let's get to Hoffman because, of course, after Alvarado gives up one in the eighth, it's Hoffman in the ninth inning. And look, who in the world had heard of Jeff Hoffman before last season? I mean, I certainly hadn't. And this guy also has just been awesome.
Swung on, hit in the air, right field, fairly deep. Castellanos back at the track in front of the wall. He's got it. Ball game's over as Jeff Hoffman gets the save and the Phillies take the series from the Dodgers. After a rout last night, a nail-biter tonight, and the Phillies hang on for a 4-3 win.
Look, it's a big win. It really is a big win for the Phillies, and they'll get 5.5 games in front of the L.A. Dodgers for the best record in the National League, obviously, which will factor in for home field advantage in the playoffs. They got one more today, and just a great job by the Phillies so far in this series and obviously this season, now getting to 60 wins. Last night, July 10th, 60 wins this baseball season. Incredible. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494, for you to react on everything going on with the Phillies, plus the Eagles, as we get closer and closer to the start of training camp now, 12 days away, where we stand on Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach. We have not one but two different Twitter poll questions that speak to that, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. You can spring into adventure in a new Armin Chevrolet, available 1.9% financing on new Equinoxes. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. First poll question. This is just the kind of sizing everybody up on Sirianni basic question. Do you like that Nick Sirianni is the Eagles head coach? Doesn't get much more basic than that. Like, are you glad he's the coach? Yes or no? Second poll question. Who would you rather have as the Eagles head coach? Who they have as the coach, Nick Sirianni, or who they could have had as the coach and may have after this season if Sirianni flops this year, Bill Belichick. You can vote on both of those Twitter polls at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. Let's get to Drew. He's calling from Westchester. Hi, Drew.
Good morning, folks. I'm going to quickly comment on the Phillies after that I can get to Sirianni. Yeah, I don't think we can understate just how big of a win it was last night, just because we've seen over a couple times this past month, the Phillies take like game one of a series and then they lose the next two. So just to break that cycle, I think was huge. Like, I think they really sent a message to the Dodgers of, look, guys, like, you come in here in October, like, this is what you got to be prepared for. So I just love that they took two in a row and took the series.
Yeah, no, it's great. And look, go for the sweep. I mean, try to knock. Now, look, take it all with a grain of salt from this standpoint. It doesn't mean what happens now is going to happen in October. I remember in 83, the Phillies won one of, I think it was 12 games that regular season against the Dodgers. I believe the Dodgers were 11-1 against the Phillies in 83, and then the Phillies beat them in the playoffs. So life can be weird sometimes.
They went one and, wow, I think crazy.
Seltzer, you can look it up, but I think it was 11 wins for the Dodgers and one for the Phillies.
Yeah, definitely doesn't guarantee anything, but yeah. I think, you know, that's the best we can do for now. So just to, you know, make that statement, put ourselves in as best position as possible. In terms of Sirianni, I still believe he's the right guy for the job. Obviously, the collapse is unacceptable, but I think sometimes I don't think people give him credit for having the team, which was a kind of a flawed team at 10-1 to begin with. Like, I guarantee you Kyle Shanahan will not have the Niners coming off a Super Bowl loss at 10-1 this year. So, like, we've seen him win a lot of big games. I still believe he's the right man for the job.
All right, Drew, give me an answer here for this tremendous concert tickets, Journey, Def Leppard, and the Steve Miller Band. A memorable showdown on this, the anniversary of Hamilton and Burr and their duel.
You got it. I'm going with a fun one. Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi. Ooh. Years ago in the hot dog eating contest.
So how many times did they do it, Jody? You probably follow this more than most.
I take it you didn't watch this year with Joey Chestnut. No.
What do I care? I don't watch even when he's in it. What do I care?
I
just get the tally at the end. 65, 68, 72.
Before it ever made its way to ESPN, they used to show it in New York on a station that was called New York One.
Oh, yes.
This goes all the way back to when CNN was just created, that you had to have a 24-hour news station. Well, New York City had to have one of their own, so they had New York One, and they would broadcast the hot dog eating contest. So I've been watching this stupid stuff before Ring Bowl ever started. Yeah. I was watching it. I think they overlapped by a couple of years, and Kobayashi knew he was, like, dead in the water. So he said, where's that Cataldi guy's number? I got to get back down to Wing Ball.
Yes.
There was a 2 or 3 year period where...
So Chestnut's bigger than Kobayashi?
He lapped him.
I see. I don't know these things.
Oh, yeah. He just put him in the rear view mirror.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.